I know I've told you this story before, but for obvious reasons, I was reminded of it this past week. I didn't cook the Thanksgiving turkey this week, but the truth is, I can cook a mean turkey. In fact, I'll put it up against the best turkey you've ever had. It's more, for me, a process than a recipe, and I learned it from a fellow classmate when I was in seminary, and it's really pretty simple. It involves salt and pepper, and if you're daring, maybe a little Tony Sacheray's Cajun rub or a little Cavender's Greek seasoning, but here's the part that's different. I actually grill the turkey. Now, I'm not talking about smoked turkey. I'm talking about grilled turkey. There's a difference. You place the bird breast down on medium heat for about 20 minutes just to brown it, and then you turn it over and cook it on indirect heat for two and a half hours, depending on the size of the turkey. Now, I know that sounds pretty simple, and it is, but I promise you, it is the juiciest, most tender turkey you have ever had, and it's got just a hint of that smoked flavor that makes it even better. Now, we usually travel for Thanksgiving, as we did this year, since it's really the only family holiday where I don't end up working somehow. And many years, when we get home, we'll actually cook our own small turkey after the main event, just so we can enjoy a couple of days of leftovers as God intended. Now, one year, and this was several years ago, Lori came home with that post-Thanksgiving turkey, and I got all my spices out, and I was ready to start the grill when Lori said, "Why don't I just cook this in the oven?" Well, for me, that was almost blasphemy. An oven-cooked turkey when you could have my grilled turkey. Surely you jest. And I assured Lori that I would take care of things, but she was untypically insistent. "Why," she said, "why can't we just have a normal turkey like everyone else?" Well, believe it or not, those words brought me to today's gospel lesson. But I wasn't thinking about the turkey. I was thinking about Christmas. And what I was thinking about was that why can't we just have a normal Christmas season like everyone else? Don't misunderstand me. I love Advent. I love the fact that our church uses this time in preparation for the coming of Christ. It's a time of good self-examination, of reordering of our priorities, and searching. I love the anticipation part of it. Society may rush Christmas and shove it down our throats, but our liturgical dance this time of year is good for us. It's good for us amidst the world's rush. Now, I think it's also an important part of our faith journey. But I've also always been a little bit troubled that here we are in the midst of a time when the whole world is focused on Jesus, and we seem to need to ignore it in the name of Advent. I love the fact that as soon as Santa rides down Broadway in the Macy's parade and stuffed bellies give way to Black Friday, the world seems to change. And the world seems to change for the better. There's just a little more hope. There's a little more joy. There's a little more peace, a little more light. And there's even a little more goodwill. And we need that. We need that. And the thought that I shared with you earlier about having a Christmas season like everyone else was because we don't get that in today's gospel lesson if you were paying attention. You see, when we light the first candle on the Advent wreath, it seems as if it can't come a moment too soon. In fact, the need for Advent almost seems urgent. I am weary. I am weary from the news. I'm wearied from divisive politics. I need a time out from division and disagreement within our ever-increasingly bitter society. I need a break. I need a break in the fog of anxiety about the future that's so low and thick that you can barely see your hand in front of your face. And even though it's Advent, I need a little Christmas. Right this very minute, as Annie Main would say. And the gospel lesson today for the first Sunday of Advent fails miserably to deliver. It is simply a shock. It's a shock to our holiday spirits that the Grinch-like formers of the lectionary kick off Advent with a heart-stopping passage about the end of the world. Jesus speaks of signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, of distress among nations, of people who will faint from fear and foreboding, and all we need is some divine bah humbug and the mood would be complete. It almost seems cruel. It almost seems cruel for those of us who want to be humming a little joy to the world to be plunged into readings like we had today about the end of the world. And frankly, most of us aren't ready for earthquakes and smoke and fire when a Charlie Brown Christmas doesn't even come on TV till tomorrow. Why does the church seem so out of step when it comes to Advent? Why can't we just have a normal Christmas like everybody else? Yet, realizing that this past week was going to be a short week since we were traveling, and it was Thanksgiving, and God knows I wasn't going to write a sermon during the Alabama-Auburn football game, so I came to the conclusion that it was time to stop lamenting the gospel, and it may be time to stop and learn something from it. And I remembered another story that I know I've shared with you before, but it was something that for me brought this all into perspective. A great joy for me is so often running into one of the kids, either from here at the church or from the school, somewhere out in the community. They're accustomed to seeing me in robes and at school or at church, but the concept of me being anywhere else is a little bewildering to them. It's as if they believe I live here. One day, several years ago, I saw a little boy from 4K at the school. I saw him at the Subway sandwich shop just up the street from here. And that's a pretty common occurrence. So I waved to him, and his mother was paying for their meal. And I'll admit, it's fun to see a little kid that's so excited to see you. And it's fun to see the surprise on their faces when they see me someplace outside of where they're accustomed to seeing me. And as they were going to their table, the excited child said, "Mommy, Mommy, I just saw." And the mother couldn't understand what he was saying. "Mommy, Mommy, I just saw." And he pointed to me. Well, the mother still didn't understand what he was saying. But when she saw me, she said, "Oh, you just saw Father Steve." "No," the little boy insisted. "I just saw God." Well, you're not supposed to laugh. But anybody who knows me well, or any number of my family, would certainly argue that point. But that's not the reason for the story. I paid for my meal, and as I was passing by, the little boy, still excited, stopped me and said, "Wait, will you stay and eat with us?" And that's the point of the story. Kids are funny in their understanding of what God looks like. But what God looks like is the point of Advent. And our gospel lesson calls us to be prepared. God may not look like you think, but the important part is to be prepared to greet God, whether a babe in a manger or at the end of time, with the joy and excitement that that little boy greeted me in Subway. And not just a greeting, but an invitation to stick around for a while. You see, I'm not so sure that today's gospel is really about the end of time. I think it's more about the now of time. I don't think it's that much about how the world will end. I think it's more about how to live the gift of life that we've been given. It's about inviting us to live with a sense of readiness, a readiness to meet Christ face to face. It's a reminder that I say in the old blessing that I use here, that life is short and we haven't much time. So be quick to love and be kind. It's an invitation to have that sense of expectation and preparation permeate everything that we do. Not with fear, but with joyful anticipation. It's a reminder that life happens suddenly. The kids are infants. Blink, they're in school. Blink, they're driving. Blink, they're in college. Blink, they're adults. Blink, we become old. Blink. But it is a promise that in the midst of our lives that aren't always easy, that God dwells. And we're called to keep our eyes open for Him. He won't always look like we think. He won't always appear where we think He should. But He yearns for that invitation to stick around for a little while. And when we understand that, the darkness seems a little brighter as together we make our way from the close of time to the manger in Bethlehem with hope-filled and joyful hearts. But above all, I think our gospel calls us to recognize the beautifully wrapped gift of life that is ours, and to spend our days unwrapping that gift, every last morsel of it, with the anticipation and joy of a child on Christmas morning, and to know that the only way to respond to a gift is with gratitude. And who knows? Maybe then, having a Christmas like everyone else isn't all it's cracked up to be. God love you. Amen.